Good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope you're doing all right today. Some of you may be listening because you may be shut in, or maybe you are ill and can't make it to church. We'll be praying that you'll soon be restored to your health. Others may be traveling. I know some of our schools have been out for a little fall break. Some of them got out Friday and then get off Monday. Some of them get off Monday and Tuesday, and some of them had it last week and some this week, so you never know. But whatever the reason, we're glad that you're here with us this morning. This morning we're going to be looking in Isaiah chapter 57. We're going to read just one verse today, just verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for these that are listening with us today. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we do have to come and to share your word over this radio station. Lord, we pray that it will always be pleasing to you, that it will always glorify you and honor you, that, Lord, that your name will always be uplifted, that Jesus will be raised up, that he can draw all people unto him, that, Lord, if there's one person lost in the sound of our voice this morning, that they'll come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we do pray for those that may be ill, may be sick this morning. We pray for them that they'll soon be restored to their health. We pray for those that may be traveling, maybe on a little vacation. Lord, we ask you to be with them and give them traveling graces, Lord, and protect them that they can soon be back home. Be with all of our churches as we gather today. Be with our revival starting next week. Lord, we just pray that you'll give us a great revival, because, Lord, we know we need it. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning as we're looking in Isaiah chapter 57, we're thinking about preparing for our revival. Now, our revival starts next week. We want to invite you to come. It'll be next Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning. It will be at 7 o'clock on Friday night and 7 o'clock on Saturday night, and then Sunday morning we'll have just one service again. So if you are a member of West Macomb, or if you want to visit, remember this. We usually have an 8:30 and then Sunday school at 9:30 and then worship again at 11. But next Sunday morning we'll have Sunday school at 9:30 and then we'll have worship at 10:30. So we want you to make sure you know about that one service. Of course, we'll have dinner on the grounds. You know, no, it's not on the ground anymore. It's in the fellowship hall. But we'll have dinner there at the church, and we'll have just a good day in the Lord. We have Dr. Jody Dean from our New Orleans Theological Baptist Seminary. He'll be coming. He's a teacher there and be preaching the word. And then also we have a student from our seminary, Brother Quint Atkins, will be coming to lead the music. So we're looking forward to that. But you know, before they get here, we have to do some preparation. We have to do some work to get ready for that. We have to be ready for a revival to take place. And so, you know, we are going to do all that we can to get our church ready, to get our people ready. But most of all, we got to do everything that we can do to get ourselves ready. You know, I need revival. You need revival. Our churches need reviving. We know for sure that our nation needs reviving. And so we need revival probably more now than we ever have in the time of our nation. We need a new awakening. We need a new reformation to take place across our nation, because we see of the spiritual decline and we see of the spiritual trouble that our nation is in. So this morning, we want to look at that. How do we prepare a nation? How do we prepare a church? How do we prepare ourselves for revival? How do we get ready for it? You know that old saying that if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail, right? You know, if we don't do anything to prepare ourselves for revival, if we don't do anything to seek out revival, then guess what? We'll probably not see revival. We'll probably not experience it ourselves. So how can we have revival? So let's read what he says here in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. He says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite." Let's read that once again, since we just have one verse. "For thus saith" who? the high and the lofty one that does what? Inhabited what? Eternity. What is his name? His name is holy. Where do I dwell? In the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I will revive that spirit of the humble and to revive that heart of the contrite ones. Now, you know, this is a wonderful verse. Just a one verse. Now, what has happened here? Well, we picked this verse up this morning. Let's think about what has happened. We see that the Israelite people oftentimes would fall into idolatry. Time after time after time, they would turn away from him. We know they spent all that time in Egypt around all those foreign and idols and gods and false gods and things that they were constantly turning back. Matter of fact, last Sunday night we preached about that, how that they got Aaron to build that golden calf, and what a shame that was, how Aaron failed in his leadership role that God had given him and that Moses had left him in charge of the people, but yet he failed in that leadership role, and they built this golden calf. So we see they were constantly turning away from God. And so God, once again, he sends Isaiah, and Isaiah is prophesying, and he's telling them and warning them once again about their idolatry and how they have gone off, how they have played the harlot once again, how that they have gone off and joined themselves with these false gods and enlarged themselves to receive these false gods and the things that they have done. And so he gets down to verse 15, and he says, this is what the Lord God, the high and mighty God, the one who lives in eternity in the high and holy place, this is what he says. He says, only those that are contrite and a humble heart and spirit are going to be in heaven with me, is what he's basically saying. And he says, I will revive you if you will humble yourselves. I will revive your spirit if you will do what? If you have a contrite heart, then he says, then I will revive that heart as well. So this morning, we need revival of our hearts and of our spirits, do we not? We need revival across our nation. We need to see God do a mighty work, because we see that our nation has turned away from God. We see that our churches have been unfaithful to God. We see so much that has happened just right here in just the last several years that we've gone further and further away from God. But we still have that hope of revival. We still have that hope that God can do and will do great and marvelous and wonderful things. He still wants to send revival to the United States of America. He still wants us to experience revival. So how can we do that? How can we prepare for that? Well, you know, I got to thinking about, what should we do to prepare for revival? What should we do to get ready for revival? Not too long ago, about a month ago, we did a little study in our discipleship training on the seven churches there in Revelation. And I'm sure you've heard sermons from the church at Laodicea. You've heard sermons probably on every church that it is. But you know, as I began to think about those churches, and I began to think about how that God approached those churches, in each and every one of those churches, he would point out what they did good, he would point out what they did bad, and then he would tell them what you need to do. So really what he was doing, I believe, is he was trying to bring revival back to these churches. He was trying to bring revival unto them. And so I thought about that. If we want to have revival, then we need to look at these seven churches to prepare for it. How do we get that humble? How do we get that contrite heart and that humble spirit? How can we find revival? How can we see our spirits and our hearts revived today? Well, I believe the whole key is found within those seven churches that we see recorded there in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. So let's kind of look at four things this morning that I believe that God says to the people here in Isaiah 57, how that they must turn to him if they're going to have revival. Let's see what he says to them as well as what he said to the churches there in Revelation. So let's look, first of all, that we want to think about that if we're going to have revival, we must remember. We must remember. Number two, we must remove. We've got things we got to remove out of our hearts. Number three is we got to repent. Now, we've been spending a lot of times on this word repent, because listen to me, brother and sister, people just don't believe they need repentance today. They just don't believe they need it. And it's the only way we're going to see revival take place in our nation. And then number four is we need reform. There's got to be some changes made. There's got to be some reformation take place. And I'm not talking about the changes that we hear our politicians talk about. I'm not talking about changing the whole outlook of our nation, as we've heard some have alluded to. But brothers and sisters, we better wake up, because we need reform. So let's go back and let's look at these and see what the Bible has to say about them. Well, first of all, we said we had to remember. Well, we see in these verses 8 and 9 of this chapter 57 of Isaiah, he talks about how that they had what? That they had gathered themselves up, they had enlarged their bed, they had made them a covenant with these false gods, and he says they loved everybody that their bed where they saw it, and when they went to the king with ointments and did us increase to perfume, they did us send out messengers far off and did us debase themselves even unto hell. Now, did you hear that? In other words, they were uniting themselves with idols and idol worship, brothers and sisters, all the way to hell. Now, I had somebody this week just talking to me about someone, and they were concerned about what was going on because of this person who says he doesn't believe in Jesus. He doesn't believe in it. He's got a demon that he talks to and things like this. Brothers and sisters, we see this all the time. People are debasing themselves even unto hell. They are following after these false gods. We need to remember who God is. We must remember that he is that lofty one, high and lofty one. He is the one that inhabits eternity. He is the one that controls it, and he is a holy God. He is not some demon. He is not some monster that we would think of when we think about demons. But brothers and sisters, he is holy, and he is God, and we need to remember him. If you go back to Revelation chapter 2, and at verse 4, it was the church at Ephesus that he's talking to. And he says unto the church at Ephesus, what was the problem he had with Ephesus? He said, your problem is you have left your first love. Brothers and sisters, we need revival today in our churches. We need revival across our nation. We need revival in our homes because we have left our first love. Our first love should be God Almighty. He is the one that we should be remembering. We need to remember him. We need to look to him. We need to know that he is that high and lofty one, and we need to humble ourselves before him. But we have left that first love for some reason. We have allowed ourselves to be enticed off from him. For some reason, we've allowed ourselves to be caught up in the snares of the world, and therefore we have left that first love. You know, have we forgotten who God is? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, he says, remember your Creator from the time of your youth. Remember him. If you never read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, those first several verses, you need to read that, because it describes the body in a way that you've never seen about the body getting old. If you really want to talk about how God knew what was going to happen to your body when he got old, read that Ecclesiastes chapter 12. But listen to me. What he says, first of all, remember your Creator. Remember who made you. You know, that's the first thing we need to do. We need to remember that God created us. Now, last Sunday morning, we talked about how that we're not our own, that God owns us. He bought us. He tells the Israelite people what? He says, you are my children. I made you. I created you. I made you a nation. You are my children. But you have left that first love. You have turned your backs upon me. If we're going to have revival, then we got to get back to that first love. And it all begins with remembering who created us. You know, I think about in Exodus, in the Ten Commandments there. I think about in Exodus chapter 20, there verse 8, where he says what? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Listen, I can remember a time when those old blue laws were still in effect. I can remember a time being raised there in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, that brothers and sisters, if you didn't get what you wanted on Saturday, you didn't get any gas, you didn't buy any groceries. None of these stores were open on Sunday. Nothing was opened on Sunday. Everything was closed on Sunday. I mean, you better make sure you had what you needed before Sunday got there. But see, nowadays, it's just another day. So if God's day has become another day, if we forget that he owns us, that he is our creator, then we've just forgotten all about him. He's not our first love. He was our first love, but we have forgotten him. We need to remember our first love. We need to get back to remembering who God is, that he is that Holy One, that he is the creator, that he is to be honored, and he is to be glorified, and not we ourselves, and not some other God that we have tried to replace him with. So this is what he says. He says, remember who I am. Remember God. If we want to see revival take place, then we got to remember our first love. We got to get back to him. We got to return to him. We got to get back to that first love if we're going to have revival. Well, let's look at the second thing. The second thing that I've said that I believe we got to have if we're going to have revival that we see mentioned in these scriptures and in the churches there, we've got to remove some things. We got to remove some stumbling blocks. Look what he says there in verse 14. We didn't read these verses, but let's go back and look at it in Isaiah 57. He says, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. He says we got to remove these stumbling blocks that are in front of our people. We got to remove these stumbling blocks that are keeping people from coming to the Lord. Now, what are those stumbling blocks? Well, you know, who knows? There are so many of them that can be stumbling blocks. But we got to make sure that we remove those stumbling blocks. We see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, it was talking there to the church at Pergamos, and he told them, he says, remove those stumbling blocks. You have allowed what? You've allowed the doctrine of Balaam. And so, you know, we can have stumbling blocks of different doctrines coming in and different doctrines that were coming in, causing people to stumble and causing people to fall. These can be stumbling blocks. You know, ways of worship, methods of worship, you know, we get so bent out of shape so many times over our music in our churches and how, what kind of music or that kind of music. We don't want this. We don't want that. Well, you know, Paul says we got to be sensitive to those people that are around us. He says that eating meat causes my brother to stumble. He says, I would not even eat meat. And I think about that. You know, what are we allowing? You know, we get so full of ourselves and so full of pride, and we want it the way we want it, and we're going to do what we want to do, and we really don't care about anybody else, and so we're going to do it this way. And we cause people to stumble. He says if really revival is going to take place, then we got to remove whatever's hindering people from coming. Most of us know what hinders people from coming. I tell people all the time, most things that hinder people from coming is Christian people who don't act like Christian people. Now, we've talked about that and preached about that time and time again. But whatever stumbling blocks we have before the people, he says there in verse 14, cast them away. Cast them away. Remove these stumbling blocks. And you know, whatever would cause somebody to stumble. Now, I've been in this long enough, and I understand and I know. A lot of people just looking for excuses not to come. And no matter what we did, they're not going to come. You know, I've heard of churches having that Sunday, you know, that non-excuse Sunday. You know, they had it right in the middle of the morning. The service didn't last but 30 minutes for the ones that said it was too early. They had it later. For the ones that said it lasted too long, they had it shorter. For the ones that were hot, they had fans. For the ones that were cold, the church was too cold. They had quilts and pillars that the pews were too hard. And on it went. But brothers and sisters, you know, there are real stumbling blocks. There are real things that are hindering people from coming to our churches. There are things that are hindering people from feeling like they are welcome and that they can come in our churches. And we need to remove whatever stumbling block is in the way. If we're going to have revival, then we got to remove those stumbling blocks as a church. But then on the other hand, you as individuals, you got to remove those stumbling blocks. What's hindering you? What are you allowing to be a stumbling block to you? What are you allowing to stand between you and God? You know, sometimes it's not the church, it's the individual. Not that the church has done anything, it's the individual. You know, a lot of times I have people, I go ask them, I say, what's wrong? You haven't been to church in a while. What have we done? Have we hurt your feelings? Oh, no, it's just me. It's just me. Well, move those stumbling blocks. You know, I think about in John chapter 11, when Jesus' friend Lazarus died. You remember the story of how that Lazarus dies. Jesus' close friends, he was friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and we know that Jesus is in another town and that Lazarus dies, and what happened? They called for Jesus to come. He kind of tarried, and when he got there, Lazarus had already died. And we know that Martha kind of went through that three different faith stage, didn't he? When in her conversation with Jesus, do you really think, your brother can be resurrected? You know, she said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, he would not have died. You know, she had that limited faith. She just had a limited faith that if only you'd have been here. But yet we see she had that fundamental faith. She said, oh, yeah, I know he'll rise again one day. I know there'll be a resurrection. But what Jesus was after, do you believe he can be revived today? You know, the question to us today is, do we believe the church can be revived today? Do we believe we can be revived today? Do we believe that our nation can be revived today? And if we believe that, then we got to remove those stones. So you read there in John chapter 11, I think it's verse 39, that Jesus tells them what? Remove the stone. Well, they tell him, you don't want to do that. Don't do that. Because, you know, it's been 4 days now, and he's thinking, don't do that. But we see that Jesus tells them, go ahead, remove the stone. And brothers and sisters, when they removed that stone, they saw the miraculous thing of Jesus calling out to Lazarus. Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth out of that grave, and he tells the grave clothes, he says, loosen and let him go. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We need revival. We got a lot of people who are bound up by sin. We got a lot of people who are caught up in bondage of sin. They are entrapped by sin. They need revival. We need revival. But revival will not happen until we cast you away, remove all those stumbling blocks, prepare a way. And that's what we're trying to do this morning. We're trying to remove any stumbling blocks. We're trying to get you to remember your first love. Remember who Jesus is. Remember who God is. Remember he's your creator. Remember his day. Keep it holy. Get in church. Be revived. Remove those stones that are standing between you and God this morning. Well, then that brings us on down to point number 3, repent. Now, we've been talking about this repent for some time, but we've got to repent. We've got to be able to turn our hearts around to God. We've got to repent of our sins that we have done. I was pretty much shocked this week. I was in a store, one of our stores down in Hammond, and I began to witness to a young lady and asked her about if she was going to heaven, when she was going to die, when she died, because we're all going to die. And the young lady told me, she said, no, I'm not worried about that. I said, you're not worried about that? I thought maybe it's because she knew Jesus. I said, well, do you know Jesus? She said, no, I'm not worried about that. I said, well, do you know that you are going to die? One day you're going to go to heaven, or are you going to go to hell? And she told me, she said, oh, I'm not worried about that. She said, it don't bother me in the least. One place or the other, it don't make any difference. Brothers and sisters, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And if we're not willing to repent of our sins and turn from our wicked ways, then brothers and sisters, then we're going to spend an eternity in hell. If we want to see revival take place, then we have got to repent. We've got to repent of our sins. We've got to turn from our wicked ways. We don't understand that, it seems. For some reason, we've lost that. It's became a word that we don't like to use or hear in church. But brothers and sisters, it is still what God tells us to do. He says in these verses, that verse 15 once again, that we read, what did he say? I will revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one. Now, what is a contrite one? What does that word mean, contrite? It means to be penitent. In other words, to repent. It means to be sorry that you have sinned. It means to be broken over your sins. You know, I can't remember the last time I've really seen somebody break down tearfully before God and fall on their face before him at the altar because they're so broken over their sins. Brothers and sisters, we don't realize we've got a sin problem. We've kind of pushed it on. Nothing's wrong. Everything's okay. And so people don't think they need to repent. But if we're ever going to see revival in our nation has a lot to repent of, brothers and sisters. It talked about these people killing their children under the cliffs and all these kind of things, and the adulterers and the things that they have done against God. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand this, that we've got to repent of these sins. We've got to repent of these things that we have done wrong. We have got to repent and turn from these wicked ways if we expect God to send revival. If we expect God to do a great and marvelous thing, then we have got to repent. Our nation has a lot to repent of right now, brothers and sisters. We have a lot to repent of. Our churches have a lot to repent of right now. We have allowed so much of the world into our churches. Brothers and sisters, I got a lot I need to repent of. You have a lot you need to repent of today. If we want to see revival, then it's going to take repenting. He said to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3, 2 and 3, he says to them to be watchful and to strengthen the things that remain. He said, you got a little strength left, and don't lose it. I want you to strengthen those things, and I want you to be watchful about what's going on around you. And then he told them three things to do, almost like a three-point sermon that we're preaching this morning. He said, you got to remember me, you got to hold fast to my word, and then you got to repent. Did you hear that? You got to remember, it's me, I'm God. You've got to hold fast, hold on to my word, and then you've got to repent. Brothers and sisters, we have forgotten the first love. We are not holding on to the precious word of God, and therefore, if we're going to have revival, we must repent. We must repent if we're going to ever have revival in our churches, in our homes, and in our nation. Well, what was the last one? And then we must reform. We must reform. We must change. We must become something different. Look at verse 18. We didn't read it a while ago, but it says, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. So here he's talking about the Israelite people, the nation as a whole, those that will be of what? Of a humble spirit and a contrite heart. He said, I'll revive these people. And he said, I will see their ways. I've seen their ways. I'm going to heal them. God said, I'm not going to stay angry with you forever. If you really want revival, listen to me. If we really want revival in America, God says, I'll send revival to you. I don't like being angry at you. I don't like having to punish you because you are a wicked nation and you have turned against me. He said, I want to change you. I want to make you something new. I want to revive my spirit within you. If only you'll return to me. Remember me, your first love. Remove those stumbling blocks. Repent of your sins. He says, then I'm going to hear you. I'm going to see you. I'm going to restore you. I love that. Restore your conference to you. He says, I'm going to do these things if only you will just turn back to me. Well, it kind of reminds me of the church there. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the church at Laodicea, what did he say to that church? He says, church, you've been just deceiving yourself, didn't he? He said, you've just been deceiving yourself. He said, you think that you're alive. You think you're all right. You think everything's going good. But I'm here to tell you, you're just lukewarm. He said, I wish you were hot or cold. You're not hot or cold, either one. You're just lukewarm, but yet you think you're rich. You think everything's going good. You know, that's kind of how I see the majority of our churches today, brothers and sisters. We're just lukewarm. We're not on fire for God. We're not cold. You know, we're meeting every Sunday. We're opening the doors. We have people come. We sing our hymns. We pay our tithe. We, you know, have our Bible studies and do the things that we call ourselves that a church should do. But what kind of difference are we making in the world? You know, that's the thing that really plagues me. Are we making a difference? Well, we must just be lukewarm. And God says, I could just spew you out of my mouth, Laodicea. You've got to reform. You've got to turn. Excuse me. You got to return from this lukewarmness. You got to reform from that. You got to be transformed into something. You've been conforming to the world. We bring up that verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, all the time. You know, be in verse 2, presenting our bodies that living sacrifice, holding the sepulchre of God's the only reasonable service. Not being conformed to this world, but being what? Transformed by what? The renewing of our minds. We got to get back to God, brothers and sisters. We got to reform. We got to have some reformation take place. We got to change from what we are to what we need to be for God. If we want revival to take place, then brothers and sisters, we got to remember who God is. We got to remember He was our first love. He is high and lifted up. He is the Holy One that created us, and His day is holy, and we should be in His house worshiping Him. We got to remove all the stumbling blocks that are hindering us personally and the stumbling blocks that are hindering people from our churches. We got to repent from these wicked things that we have allowed, these things that we have let go undone, and we got to reform ourselves. Be ye transformed, reformed unto what God would have us to be. What about you this morning? Do you want revival? Can we have revival? Do we believe in revival? Yes, we can experience revival. We can have revival. And we want to prepare for it. And we want to see you in our church next weekend to come and experience revival with us as God sends us. Let us pray once again. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively today. And Lord, we do pray for revival. We pray for a preparing of West Macomb Baptist Church to have a great revival meeting that wouldn't be just a 3-day meeting, but a revival that would catch fire and burn long and large amongst our community, that we'll see revival spread from our church throughout our community. Let it begin with me, Lord. I know I need revival, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Give me that contrite heart. Give me that humble spirit so that I can be revived. And I pray if there's one lost listening, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know Jesus today. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen.